Herb. Yeah. I love calling you Herb. And right. I know it's not Herb. I know it's Herbe. What's going on, brother?
Man, I'm well, man. I'm doing well.
Well, hey, it's good to have you back.
For sure.
All of you out there, welcome to another episode of Modern Man Talks. I'm here again with Herve. This is actually part two of our conversation. We had a conversation a little bit earlier where we got to know Herve and we spoke about some, you know, how he feels about, you know, the financial literacy of 100,000. As we speak about that, this show is about speaking to gentlemen who make that $100,000, who are in that $100,000 category. Approximately 15% of the American population makes between $100,000 to $150,000 a year. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to bring these gentlemen here and to bring them to you so that we can, like, talk with them and understand what it takes to make that money and what it takes to, you know, maintain that income. And with that being said, you know, we're going to jump on in and start talking about a little bit of insurance and some more things today, but mainly insurance today. So we're going to jump on into our conversation.
All right.
So look, we were just talking a little bit right before the camera came on about, I saw you on Facebook and you were marketing something. I thought you were at the World Congress Center. Tell me a little bit about where you were, what you were doing.
So I was at Visa's headquarters in Atlanta, helping out a client for Visa's small business marketplace for Black History Month.
Okay, all right. Tell me. All right, so I know you were saying that you were working for somebody.
Yeah, right. So how we got that set up was I have a client who works for Visa, right? And you know, she came and asked me because, you know, I deal with a lot of different business owners if I know anybody that sells products. So naturally, I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is a good opportunity for, you know, a Haitian-owned company to get, you know, highlighted in the marketplace. So I said, okay, let me call my client and see what he can do, right? Because he works for, his company brings Haitian products from Haiti with Haitian entrepreneurs into the United States and put them on a bigger platform. Right. So I hit him up. I'm like, yo, man, this is perfect. Let me know if you want to do this. And if you can't make it, I'll do it for you.
Right.
That's what ended up happening.
Always hustling.
I was like, yo, listen, you know, I go above and beyond for my clients. Like, yo, if this is a good opportunity for you,
right,
we got to figure out how we can make it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, for those of you who don't know or who didn't get an opportunity to see the first video, Herve is a Haitian-American individual. He is also a risk management /
insurance
person for
American Family. It's like, you know, we call it insurance, but I call it financial risk management.
Right.
Because that's what, and we're doing this by way of insurance products.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But it's really financial risk management.
Well, talk to us a little bit more about that because, you know, I wanted to bring you on. We had some great conversations off camera on our last conversation. And I wanted you to come back in and come talk to the people about, you know, just about a lot of the things that, you know, that we saw. And one thing that we also want you to do is insure the bag. Once you get the bag.
Y'all see the hoodie, the crew neck. We're going to insure the bag. And for all my people out there that's making over $100,000, right? After you get the bag, right? You don't want to be tripped up with any little thing that happens. So what do you do with the bag?
Right.
You take a little small portion of it and you insure it. Insure the bag.
How do we insure the bag, Herve? Talk to us.
You call me first. But in all seriousness, so step one in insuring the bag is figuring out what are your liabilities. Like, what risks do you have in your life, right?
Right.
If you own a home, your house is a risk. Right. You know, somebody come in, trip and fall. Oh, my leg. Oh, so I don't know.
Right. Because people will do that.
I don't understand.
People will do that.
Right? Then, you know, that's a risk. If you have a car, anytime you put that car in park is a risk.
Right.
And even the fact that you have a car, you spent 25 and up, because cars are kind of expensive nowadays.
Right.
You know, if something happens to that car, you're in risk of losing that investment. So that's a risk. If you own a business, there's a lot of different risks depending on what business you have. I mean, if you're the breadwinner in your household, if something happens to you, the household income is at risk. So it's about figuring out all these different risks out, right? And then what do I have in place to protect these risks?
Okay. So, like, I used to be self-employed. I still am at some points in my life, but, you know, at other points I, you know, have been accused of being an educator. So, with that being said, I do understand, like, the parts of, you know, you have to insure your business, because I had to insure my business. You know, I have to have my own health insurance and things of that nature.
Right.
But what I found a little funny was when I did my business insurance, and I was in cosmetology at that point of time.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. So I had a beauty supply store. Well, it was a beauty supply / barbershop.
Okay.
Right? But the insurance that I was provided did not cover the products that I had in the shop. Mm. So, for instance, I was selling my fragrances and things of that nature.
Oh.
Right, right. I'm on Piedmont. I was on Piedmont.
Okay, okay.
The shop was Modern Man Studio, and, you know, I had fragrances and the barbershop in there. Wow. But the insurance told me that they could not cover my fragrances. Mm. And I always, you know, that always made me... Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. So what's the point of insurance then? So talk to me a little bit about what happened there and why, and what's the commonality of that?
So it's like with that, I think people got to understand more about where the insurance companies come from, right?
Okay.
It's like the whole concept of insurance is they're transferring the risk from you to the insurance company.
I got
And they want to be able to keep as much of the money that you pay for premiums as possible. Now, you having a shop is one risk.
Okay.
You know, that's bodily injury. Somebody comes, slip and falls. You know, then you might have a, you said there was a barbershop in there too?
It was a barbershop and a, it was barber cosmetology / fragrance. So you can come in there and shop a fragrance. You can come in there and maybe buy some barber products for your beard.
Like, you had like 6 or 7 different risks in one.
Bro.
That's like, I hear you talking, red flag.
You just keep hearing risk.
I'm like, cosmetologist, so y'all playing with people. I'm playing with people's face.
You know, well, you playing with people's hair.
I'm playing with people's hair. What objects?
With chemicals, yeah.
With chemicals?
Yes. Yes, with chemicals.
So, I mean, there's a risk of, you know, somebody having an allergic reaction.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all using any tools or something like that. Or barber.
Clippers. Right.
Somebody get cut.
Right.
That's a blade.
Right.
That could, and what's that one disease when people bleed out if they get a cut?
The nick cut. The little powder, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if that happens. Or if somebody has some sort of contagious.
Right.
It's just so many things that could go wrong, right? So, it's like, that's a separate... Professional liability,
right?
So now product liability is what they would have wanted you to have on the things that you were selling,
right?
Because you don't know how certain people might react to whatever product, and because even the fact that you have insurance means that some underwriting was done and that they deemed it to be an accessible or a safe risk,
right?
Like they would have looked at your label and said, there's nothing on that label that's giving off any red flags or any of the ingredients that might cause somebody to have a reaction, a normal person to have a reaction.
Right.
So it's automatically deemed less risky.
Okay.
But the reason why they didn't want to cover and why they excluded that was because they know that that's something separate in itself and you would have to get another policy to cover that.
I got you. Because, okay, so what is it that insurance can cover in a business? Because if they didn't deem... actually, what I was told was for the fragrances, let's just say someone had broke in. They said that they would not give me the value of the fragrances back. It would be a devalued amount. So let's just say if the fragrance was valued at $200, they would only give me $50.
See, yeah, that's cap. So I mean, that's just that. What kind
of
was this?
I forgot the name of it. This is like 2 years. No, it's definitely not. It wasn't a big company because the big companies at that point wouldn't insure me. Period.
Yeah, prior coverage, right?
Right.
Which is one of those things in insurance I find a little difficult. It's like, okay, this person needs coverage. We're going to deny them because they don't have product coverage.
Right.
Like, that's more. But some companies will do that. But so it sounds like they were covering you at actual cash value for your business personal property instead of replacement cost.
Right.
Which actual cash value is replacement cost minus the depreciation due to you know, whatever age and stuff like that, right? Which to me isn't good coverage because if you need to replace it, right, you're going to need to replace it with how much it actually costs to buy at that point.
Correct.
Not what it's quote-unquote worth, which even in that case sounds like it still would have been worth what you bought it for,
right,
or at least how much it would have been produced for. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But some insurance companies, it's like, but probably didn't have an agent at that time that And so, because was that something that you went out and just got, or there was an agent helping you into purchasing those policies?
No, that's something I went out to go get. Right. Because I didn't want to, you know, open up the business and there was no insurance on some products.
Right. But you went out, you just went online and got some insurance?
I can't remember how I did it. Yeah, I probably did. Right.
Yeah. Right. See, and that's why you come and get to it. Hey, that's why I help you come insure the bag.
Okay.
You
know? Talk to me.
Because if you had came to me and you would have told me what type of business that you was in, I would have helped you outline those risks.
Okay.
Which is step one into understanding, okay, well, if X, Y, Z happens, I would cover. Then I would have told you, oh, if you're going to have barbers in there, are they going to be 1099 or W2s? Right, okay. And, you know, you should probably add this sort of language into your contract.
Okay.
Of course, consult with a lawyer because I can just advise or let you know that you having contractors is a risk.
Gotcha. But
they should have coverage in their home. You know what I'm saying? But step one is find a competent agent. Let them help you identify what your risks are and then create a solution to cover.
Because that definitely would have insured my bag. You understand what I'm saying? Right, because I wasn't even aware that I could cover the barbers. See, I wasn't aware of that.
Like, imagine, right?
Right.
Or, I know with barbers, it's like on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. they get paid, whatever, right? But imagine.
Well, they pay the owners on a weekly basis. They get paid, hopefully, on a daily basis. They do what they need to do.
But it's like a flat amount, right?
Yeah, right. Oh. It could be. Depends on, you know, your model. But let's just go for flat amount for mine.
Okay, let's go for flat amount. So, let's say if, you know, this barber is bringing you $60,000.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, this is your best barber. You're loyal, you know, holding it down and all that. And all of a sudden, this person passes away. Has a heart attack. You know, I actually had a barber that had a heart attack recently. Shout out to my guy, man.
I mean, that's sad. I want to laugh at that, but you're like, yeah, I just had a barber pass away. Shout out to my guy.
That was a real guy. But anyway, that was kind of morbid. but you know, so you got a barber that's making you $60,000 a year, right? He passes away. Boom. Now you got to incur the extra expense to go find another barber.
Right.
So anytime you hire somebody that you're depending on for their business, that's a risk.
Okay.
A risk that you can insure through a key person policy in your company, which is tax deductible.
Oh, well, all right. Now tell us a little bit more about this key person policy. Talk to me a little bit more. I have a guy, he's making me 60. Now, is this only for that cosmetology industry, or can I do this in any industry?
Any business. Like, I mean, think about like a lot of these businesses that there's only that one person that knows how to do it the way that they know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very influential into that business.
Right.
If something happens in that business, yo, that company might lose hundreds of thousands or thousands of dollars. Right. So the way you secure that risk is by having a key person policy on that person. So that way, it might be hard to find someone to do or replace him exactly like how he is.
Right.
Because he might be that important.
Okay.
But you can at least have some funds to at least look for somebody and keep the business afloat while you're trying to replace that person.
Okay, so does that key policy, all right, let's just say I'm trying to replace this guy for he makes me $60,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Do I get a policy on him that's double like how I would on a life insurance for like $120,000, and then I use that $120,000 to look for people to, you know, build them up for training and things of that nature? Or,
well, I mean, technically it is a life insurance policy.
Okay.
But it's, you know, used for that sort of use. So you can get it for however much coverage amount you think you might need to replace that person. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say if he makes you $60,000, but it might only take you half a year to replace. Right. Then, you know, cover for $30,000, you know, you have that amount to keep your business or your cash flow the same until you hire somebody new. Now, if it's somebody that's really niche,
right,
you might want to replace it for 1 or 2 years or enough to, well, if my business is solely dependent on this person,
right,
I might just need to put it for a month. So if anything happens to this person, I could start a new business.
Or, okay.
You know, the amount depends on sort of the need of how valuable that person is to your business.
Okay.
But regardless, this at least that coverage is there so that way you know if something happens to them, you're good.
So how does that work for like new businesses? So let's just say, you know, I start off a new business, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm the key person in the business. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that policy on myself, right? Can I do that for myself, or do I have to have like an existing amount of years with an existing amount of revenue in order to do that?
Nah, man, you can do it for yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I can do it for my kids too. Let's just say I want to put my kids on the business and say, hey, you guys are, you're a key. I'm not saying and then somebody get missing.
I'm not saying that, you know, that's how you would, that's a good way of making life insurance tax deductible, but.
Okay. But you can, okay.
If there are keys here, pause them. I wouldn't do anything fraudulent, but. All right. I mean, you might be able
to. Yeah. Okay.
But so the CPA, but if they're, yeah, they're important to your business.
So the policy is mainly just for people who's just very key and instrumental to the business.
Exactly. Like, you know, you own a body shop, and you got this one person that's built relationships with everybody in the community.
Right.
Or, you know, works on a certain vehicle a certain way, and can't replace them.
Right.
All right, cool. You're important. Let me put some life insurance on. And, you know, the ethical thing to do is, you know, have
tell
a...
them? Huh? Then tell them?
Yeah, tell them. Right. Tell, of course. But maybe even add their family as a beneficiary for some of them.
Okay. I got you. I would, okay. You know. How often does that occur? Because until you said something, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's about the agent that you have. I tell all my clients about. Matter of fact, I'm working with a client now who's like he's like a Procter & Gamble.
Okay.
Right? Where they own a whole bunch of different brands and stuff like that. But he's like heavily involved in the manufacturing of some of the brands that they have.
I got
you. Oh, bro, like you're extremely important to your business. You should consider this outside of the life insurance that you have.
Right, okay. So that's in addition to.
So
like with life insurance, you know, if I get like $100,000 policy, if I get a good life insurance, mm-hmm. I'm usually paying around $100, $110 a month.
Depending on your age.
True. Well, I had one previously a couple of years ago where they were charging me like $110 a month. Okay, your face is saying something different. Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
I mean, well, it depends on when you got it, because, you know, with COVID, they changed the tax law that come with life insurance. So life insurance used to grow at, for universal life, I think it was like 5% rate. Mm-hmm. Now it's at like 2.7%.
It decreased.
Right. And they allowed life insurance companies to pay more for the same amount of, or to charge more, I'm sorry, for the same amount of coverage.
Okay.
So before you might have paid for $100,000. You know, if you're in your 30s or 40s, it might have been $100 a month.
Right.
Now it's like two something.
Oh, wow. Wow. That whole doubled almost. Wow.
Inflation.
Wow. Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the cash value isn't growing as fast as it was prior to them changing the tax code. But, you know.
So the insurance companies are eating, but the person who is getting the insurance may not be benefiting as much as they could.
Well, you see,
previously, based on the economy,
because like when, so they changed it, you know, during the like COVID, right?
Gotcha.
So a lot of people were dying.
Right.
So a lot of people dying.
That makes sense.
They're paying out a lot of money for life insurance.
Right.
They're paying out. They're not making as much.
Right.
So it's really like a bailout to the life insurance companies.
Okay.
Yeah, that nobody really knew about.
Okay.
It's kind of like swept
under the rug. Swept under the rug.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, back in the '80s, and man, that would have been the time to buy life insurance. To be honest with you.
Okay.
You could have bought a single pay whole life policy for $1 million, right? For probably about $100,000, and it would have grew at a 10% rate each year. All right. So imagine you put $100,000 in this account.
Right.
Each year, and it's a whole life policy gonna cover you till you die. Each year you get a cash value of $10,000 that you can pull out.
Right.
In 10 years, you done put out all your money that you made or put into this life insurance, and you're still insured for $1 million.
Right.
And you just paid $100,000. So you got all your money back in 10 years and you're insured for $1 million when you die.
Mm.
Man, if that shit was that sweet now, man, we'd be straight.
But a lot of insurance agents still use that model to sell insurance. Because, you know, I knew a guy prior. Now, he wasn't as sophisticated and as big as you were. I think he was actually just starting to get in. So, mm-hmm. I think he was trying everything he could to try to get customers. You know how they, you know when you start off the game, you just like, hey, you know, you're saying whatever you can say to get people in. Mm-hmm. But I've heard something similar to that. And, you know, because, you know, he was trying to sell the insurance, he was saying that, hey, you know, at this point in time, you know, you can buy X amount of life insurance, pay it off within X amount of years, be able to pull that money out, and you still have so much of the life insurance left. Right. But you're saying that that's not the case as much anymore.
I mean, it's still the case. It's just, it's not going to, you don't get as big of a return on the investment. As big as cash flow, because life insurance is not an investment.
Right.
Anybody that says life insurance is an investment tool, product, that's cap.
Right.
It's false. Matter of fact, when we do our continuing education, you're actually not supposed to advertise life insurance as a special dog, or you might risk losing your license.
Oh, wow.
The main difference between a life insurance being an investment and being insurance is that an investment, has to have some sort of accumulation period, right? Whereas life insurance, as long as you know, everything was truthful on your application and you paid a dollar or whatever amount for your insurance, it's going to pay your whole amount the next day. Mm. See what I'm saying? You don't get that with investments.
Oh, okay. I got you. So sometimes people are just out here just...
What it is we talking.
Right.
We trying to sell shit.
So you really do need to know. You really got to talk to the insurance, agent. To find out.
You know... And especially depending on what you're getting, the agent should have some sort of expertise.
Okay.
Right? Like, if you're going to put, or let's say if you want to use or do infinite banking, because infinite banking seems like it's one of the buzzwords in life insurance nowadays, right? Okay. Where they say, all right, cool. If you put X amount of money in, you can borrow against it. And be your own bank and, you know, create a business instead of people going to a bank to borrow money. They can go to you and blah, blah, blah. Cool. Which is a good concept, and it's true. But what they don't advertise is, in order for you to do it immediately, you need to put a large amount. You have to fund it with a large amount of money.
Because
you're not going to get $1 million policy, you have $100,000 in cash value, unless you put in close to $100,000 or more starting out.
All right. So that's what infinite banking is, where I can start off I could pretty much be a lender to other people, but I can be insured by doing that.
Right. So it's like, instead of going to a bank, which could deny you for whatever reason, for let's say if your credit's bad or whatever, you could be your own bank, right, when you need money and still be insured for up to whatever amount.
But you need the physical cash amount of what do you need, like a percentage amount of the whole value or what?
No, you gotta have cash value in the account in order to borrow against it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But
it's to it. The only way to build cash value is to put money in the account and let it grow, so that way you can have more money to pull from later.
Got you. How often do people do that?
It's getting more popular. There's agents out there who are really pushing it, but you're dealing with a different sort of client. So this is not something that, you know, the average Joe is just going to have $80,000 to put in a life insurance day one so they can be able to borrow against. Nah. And, I mean, the people that do have these sort of big policies to where they can borrow tens of thousands of have been paying into the policy for at least 10 to 15 years.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to build up. Or it's a borrow against.
Okay.
You just put it in there all at one time.
Tell us, what are some good qualifications if a person's out here trying to find a good agent? You know, it's because your business deals with talking to a lot of people. I mean, it's always dealing with, it's almost like people are your product. So how can a person find a good agent that would give them the type of information that you're giving and not just give them, you know, something that's superficial?
I think the best way to do that is to ask somebody. Like you said, like, because there's going to be a lot of agents that's going to advertise themselves and say, hey, you know, I do this, I do X, Y, and Z, right? Sort of like realtors. You know, like, there's a lot of realtors.
Right. Realtors be killing the market.
Right. You know how, like, shout out to my boy Charles Brown, he's in HATF, but he had posted something today, like, oh, all of a sudden, every realtor is a top 1%
earner
in Atlanta. It's like, how'd that happen? But, I think it's definitely referral. Like, all right, if somebody, you should ask somebody that's done something to what you're trying to do, mm-hmm. and ask them, well, how was your agent with you? Like, was he able to help you walk you through the process? Like, you know, all that, especially for some more of the complex case. Now, I'm like, you know, auto and home, probably just want to make sure it's good coverage, good rates. But for something that's more complex, like your business or your life insurance, or referral would probably be your best bet.
Now, we foreigners, you know, you're Haitian American, I'm a Nigerian American. Now, technically, normally, our culture doesn't normally walk or work with insurances. You know, it is, if you have the money, you'll be buried. If you do not have the money, you will be buried some way, somehow.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. The church.
Now, right, mm-hmm. right. So how big are you with working with, you know, your own people, you know, so, and informing them about the benefits of insurance?
So you can't tell because, you know, I dye my hair. But I go gray and try to preach insurance to my people, man. It's tough. So there's some that, you know, are kind of more on the financial literate path that, you know that, all right, this is something that I need. But for others, it's just being patient and giving them real life examples of, look, this is why you need insurance. They're trying to get ahead of whatever thing happens that makes them realize they need insurance. Because oftentimes we see that they realize that they need insurance after the bad thing happens, and I can't do nothing for you.
Right.
Right. But if I can tell you in advance, like, oh, you starting a business? All right, just, hey, I don't even want nothing from you. Let me look at your policy.
Right.
Oh, you don't have a policy? All right. Well, let me tell you why you need a policy. Cool. And just being on them. I mean, I had a client who owned a restaurant on the street. I had this on for 2 years.
Okay.
I was on for 2 years. Right. Like, yo, bro. Yeah, Paul. Not only because the food was good and I was there all the time. But I tell him, like, listen, you need to get insurance. You need to get insurance. You need to get insurance. Boom. And it's funny enough, I had a conversation with him last week. So he's getting sued, or trying to get sued. Yeah, it's not going to go through.
Potential.
Yeah, it's a frivolous lawsuit.
Okay.
Right? But something that happened in their parking lot, which during an event that had nothing to do with them. Yeah. Right? But he was like, oh, man, thank God I had insurance. No shit.
You need it.
I told you. Oh, man, because the worst thing as an insurance agent you want to say is, I told you so, man.
Right, right.
I take no joy in it.
Right.
Not even just a little bit.
I mean, but that's why you helped them to insure the bag.
Yeah, I helped them insure the bag. Like, you know, I have a cousin. Oh, my cousin's so hard-headed. Mm-hmm. Had a landscaping company, right? And I'll tell him, because I came over his house one day, mad equipment all over the backyard. Like, I'm like, buddy spent some bread on some stuff.
Right.
And you know, like, the lawnmowers and shit ain't cheap, especially the ones that you ride on top
right,
of.
Right, right. That was like $5,000-$10,000, man.
So he had like two or three of those.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Oh.
Plus all types of other shit. So I'm like, oh, okay. Yo, you should probably put some insurance on some of this stuff.
Right.
Oh, no, because, yo, I'm good. You know, insurance is a scam. All right. Cool. Whatever, right? His little brother called me one day because I was working at home. This is when I was still with AmFam Corporate.
Right.
He was like, yo, hey, the fire department's at the house. Yo, can you run over there and check to see what's going on? I go over there. All our buddy equipment in the backyard on fire. It was a hot-ass day in the summer, right? So I'm like, damn, that's crazy. He pull up in his little van or whatever, first off a job site. Like, oh, da, da. I'm like, oh, in Creole, oh, mess with me. Okay, da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, man, shit. I told you so. I didn't find no joy in that.
But he lost it all.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Never able to get it to say. And it's like, and that's really where the insure the bag come from, because, like, well, you got all this shit. This is your bag.
Right.
You feel me? Correct. Insure it.
Right.
Because it's going to be a bitch to get all that shit back.
Right. It really is, because the cost of, like I say, inflation, cost of living goes up. The cost always goes up. It's rarely going down.
Right. If it took you X amount of time to save up to buy something,
right?
Why would you want to do that again?
Right. Right.
Like, especially when people buy, yo, it took you how long to get a house?
Right.
You want to risk not being able to get another house?
Can no. You can't even get a house without insurance, can you?
No, you can't. But you can get a house and have poor insurance.
That's true.
to me, having poor insurance is like having
right.
Because if you're, especially like, all right, you got a company that just is known for not paying claims.
Right.
I'm not going to drop any names.
Right. I mean, you can.
That's my professional liability.
Oh, okay, well, all right, don't do that then.
Insured back. If it kept you caught up.
Right, insured back. You're right.
But, you know, you got a company that's known for not paying claims, right? That's like having no insurance because it's not going to be there for when you actually need it.
Correct.
So it's like ass backwards. You might as well spend the $100 or $200 or more and it actually be there for when you need it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't really talk too much shit about State Farm because shout out to State Farm. You know, they paid out $13 billion in losses last year.
Oh, wow.
The highest out of any company. The only company that came close was like Travelers and Progressive. They paid around $4
billion. Okay.
So I knew that shit hurt paying $13
billion. Right.
But State Farm actually did it. Like, they could have then, you know, denied the claims and lawyered up. I'm pretty sure their lawyer fees would have been a lot less than right. actually paying out those claims. But they paid those claims out. No, I mean, and State Farm normally has a pretty decent record of paying claims. All right,
well, shout out to State Farm.
Shout out to State Farm. I used to work for a farm. I'm not big on shouting out competitors, but they all right, my book. For at least paying. But then again, they was in Florida. Like, all those claims, they had to pay out.
Okay.
But regardless, they paid it out.
Right.
They could have pulled what some other insurance companies do and just not paid out at all and tell all their clients to take us to court.
Okay. But they didn't.
They didn't. They paid it out. But you got other companies, you know, some that start with the first letter of the alphabet.
Okay.
Just don't pay out claims, period.
Okay.
Which to me is backwards. Even though they might be a little bit less, you're paying for essentially nothing because it's not going to be there for when you need it.
Right, right, right. So, I mean, why do you think that they're not paying out the claims? Is it just because it's just too, you know, it'll be too hard for them to get the money back? Or is it because there are new products that are coming out into the market and they just feel like, well, we'd rather save our money for that?
It's too expensive. So it's like, yeah. Imagine, right, you owe you've been borrowing a lot of money, right?
Right.
Everybody wants their money back at the same time, and you got other bills due.
Right, like, right. Oh, I can't pay you.
So some of these people, I had to wait.
Right.
Like, matter of fact, I don't owe y'all. Get it back in blood.
That's how they act. Get it in blood, right? Get it in blood.
Get it back in blood. I don't owe y'all no more. Matter of fact, we don't cover that.
Right.
And that's really what they say.
That is.
Like, what? Like, yo, half your roof could be missing.
Yeah, we'll cover that.
We feel like that was a maintenance issue. Nah. Like, you know what?
And they get away with it.
Because most people ain't finna go take an insurance company to court.
No. You don't have the money. you just asked them for money.
Exactly. Feel the money back. Like, having a bad insurance company is like loaning a cheap person money.
Right.
And somebody that's always broke money. You know what I'm saying? You know you're not finna get that money back. You know, it's like,
that's true though.
You might as well just take the L. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's like. Yeah, you just do research on your insurance company. Yeah, that's pretty much all that boiled down.
You know, last time we were talking, you mm-hmm. brought up some good stuff talking about artificial intelligence and mm-hmm. how you were using it. How you were just using it in your personal life, and then mm-hmm. you know you brought up the fact that insurance is going to start using it. Talk to us about that.
So telematics is going to change the game. I was just looking at John Henry, who's the CEO of Loop Insurance. I think that's what we were talking about last time. And Loop is using AI to better assess risk when it comes to auto insurance because there's certain like underlying biases and prejudices that I believe is still a large factor in the overall rating of auto insurance. But AI is going to make it to where they can really better assess what the risk is, right, and match the price to it. And like now you got companies like Tesla too, right?
Okay.
Who Tesla owns their own insurance.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Tesla has their own insurance on their cars. And it's like, so, and Tesla has already automated everything.
Correct.
So they can see exactly how you're driving.
Right.
And base their insurance based off how much you drive. And how often you drive.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you don't get closer to rating the risk than that. They own the car.
Right.
Ain't no line on the application for that.
Right.
You know, they probably got cameras to see who's driving it. So
I'm like, sure they do.
It's going to be crazy. So, when we get into more of these all electric vehicles, it's going to be really interesting to see on the auto insurance side. Now, the homeowners insurance side is where I'm really interested to see how AI is going to come in with that. Now, we already see, like, a lot of integration with ADT and other companies. Matter of fact, State Farm just bought a controlling interest in
ADT. In ADT? Wow.
Yeah, sure, the State Farm. Yeah, but then you see other companies like Lemonade. Mm. Lemonade is a all cyber based homeowners insurance. And you got Builders. Okay. Builders are offering insurance to their clients.
Okay.
And it's normally pretty cheap, but it's like, well, if y'all built the home, then y'all should know that it should be good enough to last, right?
Right.
Even though the way they build homes nowadays.
Isn't that right? Right. Yeah. I would never take insurance from a builder.
Well, they'll do the same thing.
Right. I don't cover that.
No, we built it. It was straight. Get it back up.
Right. I was like, never take insurance from a builder. Right.
And it's like, especially if they didn't build something up to code, that's what, then who are you going to sue?
Right.
So you're going to sue your insurance company for what they did to build your home? No.
Right. So some of it is almost a setup.
Yeah. I think if you buy insurance from your builder, that's a setup.
Right.
Because they just setting you up for them not to pay the claim.
Okay. Well, it's almost, I mean, I guess you can kind of look at it like it's like if you buy an insurance from your car, from a person who you're buying the car from, that could be a setup because they could say the same thing.
The same thing, which is funny because there's a lot of case or people looking at, like, especially with Tesla and the self-driving thing, right?
Right.
So who's liable in the event that the car was driving itself and it got into an accident?
And that just happened recently, probably right. Like a couple of months ago.
Yeah, then yeah. So it's like, all right, is it the driver's fault for not paying attention, even though they advertised that it was safe?
Right.
Or is it the car's fault for having multi or faulty
systems
right. for not being able to correct itself and right. crash? Who knows?
That is interesting, right?
If you ask me, it's the car's fault.
Yeah. Right. But if you ask the car manufacturer, they say it's your fault.
It's your fault. You're supposed to be paying attention.
Right. Right. You're still supposed to be behind the wheel. You ain't supposed to be asleep.
Exactly. So. And then what happens when, okay, well, you try to stop and it doesn't give you control. It's like it's a lot of different scenarios
right.
that could go wrong.
Okay.
But if your car or your car manufacturer is the insurer, they're going to be on the side of, well, I'm not trying to pay it. Okay. Our car is fine.
Right.
It's something that you did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you need degrees of separation.
It's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that AI is going to be a little funnier for the homes, for the home side. Why do you think that?
Because it's not a great way of integrating AI with your home unless you have a smart home.
Okay.
Now, if you have a smart home, yeah. You can use AI or even just, you know, the information from the smart home to better assess that risk.
Okay.
You know, how often people are home, how many occupants you have, you know, if you have some sort of water mitigation and for all that good stuff.
Right.
But
like, if you have a home that was built in, you know, 2000, that's not necessarily a smart home, what's exactly. the point of view? You know, adding this AI component right, to my. Right.
And then it's like, and then it's one of those kind of biased type things because if you have a smart home, you probably make more money.
Right.
Make more money than, you know, honestly, that's kind of biased. And so because we see that people make more money or of color and minds out of 10. So it's like, all right. So the only people that can afford smart homes are people that have more money. So it's classes. So right. people who are poor aren't able to afford or aren't able to get a smart home and are paying more in insurance for it.
Got you. Okay, got you. Well, I mean, they got to make the money back somehow. But, yeah, I do see how that's bad. But I'm sure in somebody's boardroom, they had that same conversation. They said, oh, I got to get my money back somehow.
Yeah, I can't wait till I get to one of those boards. I can always be on the advocate
right.
that make less money.
Right.
That's the downside of insurance. Because right now you got people that make less money probably have less coverages, but they are the ones who need the coverages more.
Right.
Because if somebody that has $600,000 in their bank could afford, well, I want to say could afford, they don't want to pay out
right.
for their claim, but that's not going to financially cripple them as far as somebody that's already struggling to pay their rent on a month-to-month basis, and they'd be at a fault, correct. At an accident. You know, now they're just adding debt on top of that.
Right.
So.
Right.
So let's say insurance needs to be made more affordable, and hopefully these new AIs and different things that's coming out can do so.
Okay. That's good. Let me ask you this. So sometimes people think that financial literacy is just budgeting and managing their own money, right? Now, when you hear the term financial literacy, what else comes to mind for you?
So I saw just, you said budgeting and what else?
But they think it's budgeting, you know, just balancing their books, taking care of the, you know, their regular everyday lifestyle. That's what they think of financial literacy. But when you hear about financial literacy or you hear the term, what else comes up in your mind?
So for me, it's, okay, outside of budgeting, it's risk management, mm-hmm. of course, because how am I going to protect the things that I have? You know, it's having multiple sources of income. Right. You know, yeah, I'm budgeting, so I know this is going to work, but how much is coming in, right. and how much more can I have coming in? You know, investing. Investing is very important because if you're putting your money, honestly, I'm not big on putting my money into a savings account because right. it's not doing nothing.
You ain't getting nothing, right.
You ain't getting nothing out of it.
Right.
I'd rather put it in some life insurance.
Right. Okay.
Straight back.
Okay, right, all
right. Or a 401k or something like that, but I'm not a financial advisor. Just a risk manager.
And you put it in life insurance because you were able to borrow against it.
Exactly. Without some of the penalties that you might have with a 401k or IRA.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Right.
And like I said, and you're insuring the only risk that you know is guaranteed to happen.
Right.
You get a car, shit, you might not even get into an accident, catch a home, might never catch on fire.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? But you're going to die one day.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
For sure.
Not for the average person, because, you know, I know. You know, athletes and superstars, you know, singers, they insure like their leg. If you're a soccer player, you insure your foot. Mm-hmm. If you're a singer, you insure your throat or whatnot and your larynx. Mm-hmm. How often or have you seen the average individual who may, you know, make maybe $100,000 or whatnot insure something of their that's on their on their own person?
How often? Yeah. So
have you seen it?
Right. Well, you've had a barbershop, right?
Right.
So those are all self-employed contractors?
Right.
Did you know if any of them had disability insurance?
No. I did. I'm slipping all kind of way.
Yeah, man, people don't be thinking about it.
No, we don't know. No, we don't. That's why you here, man. That's why I brought you here. Like, well, people don't think about that.
Yeah, we don't be thinking about it, man, because, you know, people don't like to think about what can go wrong.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? It's the whole ignorance is bliss sort of thing. And it's funny because I consider myself as a very happy-go-lucky sort of type of person, right? But my job is to think about what can go wrong for you.
Right.
So that way you can keep on being blissfully ignorant.
Right.
Yeah, but no. It's typically when I bring up certain coverages, like whether it's, you know, the key person policy, or if you're a business owner, you have partners, buy-sell agreements, you know, product liability, professional liability, you know, this, that, or third, key, okay. Directors and all. I'm typically the first person that they heard about it from.
Right, which, right.
Unless you're in the know, you know, and it's great. It depends on what type of business you're into, right?
Okay.
And how long you've been in business. Because if I talk to a lawyer about professional liability, you know, lawyers typically make six figures and up.
Right.
You know, they've probably been in business for a good amount of time. They know that they're being professional liability because they're right. aware of there might be a chance that they might get sued.
Right.
Doctors know that they need professional liability. To now I really think about it, it's my clients that make the most money.
That don't?
No, that have insurance, that okay. know that they need insurance.
Gotcha.
It's the ones that don't that I end up having to tell.
Okay. About if you could put a price range, or, I mean, not a price range, but if you could put a salary cap on the ones that you would have to talk to the most, what range do you think they would be in?
They make less than $150 a year, they probably aren't thinking about insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, they're probably not.
And that's business insurance, home, life, all of it? Well, I mean, I'm not going to throw home because you pretty much have to have that. But that's business, life, you know, that type of insurance or what?
Yeah, home and auto out of it.
Right.
And even on the home and auto side, I mean, they might not have the most coverages or the best coverages, but they're going to have something there.
Okay.
Because I've talked to people that, you know, have seven or eight homes but don't have a umbrella policy.
What do they have then? Huh? What do they have?
Also, I mean, they have, like, the regular home and auto, but, like,
okay.
an umbrella is, it's like, it's liability insurance that goes past your home and auto.
Okay.
So let's say if you have something that happens at one home, right? Instead of them being able to sue your other policies mm-hmm. to recoup the money that they need for that one, you have the umbrella that has at the bare minimum a lot of times $1 million, or if you have multiple homes, I suggest getting 5-10 million that can help cover the incident that happened at that one property.
Okay.
And help if you get sued or things like that. Have a 4 or 5 car pile of, you know, subpoena assistance, all that good stuff.
It's almost like it kind of works like an LLC almost, where they don't necessarily get you, but they get like a version of your policy or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm saying that wrong.
Yeah, I see where you go. It's more like, all right, if this policy runs out, right, instead of coming in your pocket,
right,
you have the umbrella with even more coverage.
I got you.
But it ain't only going to cover this one policy. It's going to cover all 4 or 5 policies that you have with your different homes and all that stuff. If you're a high-value person that has multiple different things going on, you probably
need an umbrella. You need it. Okay. I got you. How do you define financial well-being?
My definition of financial well-being is that you have the quote-unquote fuck you money.
Right. Okay.
That anything can happen tomorrow, you can lose your job, and you're like, man, fuck it, I'm going to be okay.
Right.
Right. Well, matter of fact, that's my whole thing. You're financially well if anything can happen and you will be okay.
Okay.
You know, if somebody were to trip and fall at your property and try to sue you, fuck it, I got insurance.
Right.
You lose your job tomorrow, you're good. Oh, your stocks might go under, but shit, I got this over here that I'll be okay. I mean, unless some World War III shit were to happen.
Right.
Which, you know, the Russian-Ukraine shit got me.
It's possible. Right.
Right. You will be okay.
Right.
You know, that's how I'm trying to set myself up. You know, I'm not 100% there yet because I still got to go to work every day.
Right.
You feel me? But once you're financially well to the point where ain't nothing gonna trip your life, except maybe a bad divorce. I mean, shit, not even a bad divorce if you got the right, you know.
Right, lawyer. If you got the right lawyer, right.
Yeah, like, you gotta have, like, it's like an iron fence.
Right.
Around your accounts, your money, and you good. Okay. That's to me being financially well built.
I got you. Now, how does, you know, you brought up Russia, Ukraine, and, you know, that might mess up some money. But how does war or things of that nature, how does that affect insurance? Or does that affect insurance?
Well, see that, you know, that's just on a cause like a global supply chain shortage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, global supply chain shortage has an effect on replacement costs for materials and stuff like that. Materials go up, replacement costs goes up, which means your insurance goes up.
Wow.
So consumers end up paying more for their insurance to help offset the cost of supply chain shortages and stuff like that. And also certain risks like terrorism.
Mm-hmm. You
know, a lot of homeowners, business owners policies have terrorism coverage built in.
Really?
Yeah. But Congress has to consider a terroristic act in order for it to cover it, which I think they only done that a handful of times.
Really?
Yeah, which is crazy.
So today, in 2023, mm-hmm. there are policies built in with terrorism. Well, my policy may have a terrorism clause in it.
Yeah. It's like you have to accept or reject it on a lot of policies. It's like mandatory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But if we got into war, I'm assuming that risk would go up.
Right.
The cost of that would go up. War would just be bad.
Right.
It'd be really bad for insurance.
Okay. Well, but would it? Because don't you guys have to insure? I mean, wouldn't you guys have to insure the military branch? Or that's something that they just do on their own? They do it like how Tesla do it. Like, we just insure our own things.
I'm sure the government's insured in some way, shape, or form. That's.
But it just wouldn't benefit commercial places like Aflac or wherever, you know.
It's outside my pay grade.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because, you know, countries are insured. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day. Because Haiti,
right?
Haiti had insurance in 2012 in the earthquake, right?
Okay.
That protect the buildings and all that, right?
Right.
You know, the largest payout that it's like some Caribbean Insurance Association paid out was to Haiti.
Okay.
Like, during that time, so, but people never seen that money.
Right. So countries can have insurance.
Yeah, countries can have insurance.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Everybody needs insurance.
I'm like, everybody needs insurance. I don't care what you're talking about. You need some insurance.
In some way, shape, or form, I don't care who you are.
Right.
The fact that you are living.
Right.
Means that you are eligible at the
very for least, insurance.
For life insurance. That's like the bread. That's the number one. If you don't have life insurance,
you don't have nothing.
You got none. Because you're going to die.
That's true. That's true.
Now, I mean, some people make the argument that they don't care about how they, you know,
right. Yeah. Where you get buried me in a backyard in the, right.
I don't care.
Put me in the trash can, wrap me up. Yeah, I've heard it all.
So that's just irresponsible.
Right.
Minimum, you should get at least $20,000, $25,000
to just do a funeral. Right.
You know what I'm saying? But either way, if you don't have that, then the risk of you not being properly buried is there.
Right.
Now, the more assets you gain and all that other stuff, now you got more risk.
Right.
You should get insurance on that.
Right.
You know, see, if you're alive, there's a chance you might get sick.
Okay. Right.
I don't talk about health insurance enough, but.
Right.
There's a chance your health might go bad. Right. You're going to pay for that.
That's true.
And if you live through it, you're going to get a bill.
You got to get a bill. You got to get a bill. You're getting a bill. Right.
It's crazy.
Right. Oh, I know. I've seen them. Right.
It's ridiculous. Wow. So, yeah, man, risk is all around us. Risk is something that you just can't avoid, like taxes.
Yeah. So who normally pays countries for their insurance?
So, I'm assuming they would get paid by the government of that country.
Okay.
And that would come from, you know, tax dollars.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, really, it's like we're paying for our...
Right, we're paying for our... Right. That's pretty dope, man.
So, you're paying for your government insurance, but you won't pay for insurance for yourself.
Right. Don't make sense. But you didn't even know you were paying for government insurance.
You didn't think about it. Every time you pay the sales tax.
Right. Right. Gotcha. It just gets you everywhere.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Look, okay, so what are some ways where, I mean, you've pretty much been telling us ways on how you can increase a person's financial well-being. Mm-hmm. Give us one more way how you can increase their financial well-being.
Okay. And I'm going to come from the way, by way of insurance. So, you can increase your financial well-being by, one, decreasing the amount that you pay insurance, not by decreasing your coverage amount,
okay,
but by improving your insurance score grade, which is similar to like your credit score.
Right.
And the way I would increase your insurance score grade is by having higher amount of coverages for a longer period of times without having a claim. You do that when your policy renews after maybe one or two turns. You should see a significant decrease in your monthly amount.
Mm-hmm.
Some money back in your pocket. They can do things as far as like investing, whatever. And now you're in a more financial solid place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Insurance score grades. Mm-hmm. That was something that we talked about last time behind mm-hmm. the scenes. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I'm sure most of these people have never heard of that.
So, part of the reason why the wealthy are able to pay so little in insurance is because they have very low insurance score grades. You know, they are deemed as less of a risk,
mm-hmm.
right? I have a client that just paid $453 for 6 months of insurance for about $500,000 in coverage per occurrence. $400. 6 months. At one point in time, I was paying $400.
Right, and not per month. They pay $400 for six months.
Ridiculous. But, you know, he's a welfare client. You also did an umbrella.
Okay.
But his insurance score grade was like a one or a two.
Okay.
So, in the insurance company's eyes, it's like they're taking this $400, but it's very unlikely that we'll have to pay out anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You want to get from the insurance score is so attractive that we'll take just little next to nothing for us to insure you. Now, you do that by showing that you're not a risk.
Right.
Right? You know, it's like, let's say if I give you $20, right? Mm-hmm. And, or you ask, yeah, I give you $20, and you give it back to me.
Right.
Right?
I'm starting to feel like, oh man,
I can loan this man a couple dollars.
Trustworthy,
right?
I give you $100.
I give it back.
He ain't run out yet,
right? I'm gone.
And we just keep it going. We keep it going. Cool. I know, or I feel very safe with borrowing you money.
Right.
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 It's like the same thing, right? You know, we were insuring this person. Oh, he don't got no claims. Oh, he got good limits. Oh, he don't got no claims.
All right,
cool. He ain't got no claims. All right, boom. You know what? Let's go ahead and drop it down. All right. You know, we want him to stay with us because he's not costing us any money, but he's giving us very little. All
right. Right.
Boom, boom, boom. Now his insurance rate is very low.
Gotcha.
Very less risky. Now, the thing that I don't like about insurance score grades is that they use credit as a factor.
Okay.
And to a degree, they use where you live as a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say if you live in, you know, let's say if you live in a hood.
Right.
Odds are you get into an accident.
Right. You're more likely to get into an accident because you're in the inner
city. Yeah, or you might have more likelihood of somebody breaking into your car.
Right.
Or somebody stealing something. Right. And that has to do with claim frequencies in that area, too. Right. So that's where AI is going to come in and maybe help better even the playing field with how they come up with this insurance score grade.
I got you.
But for right now, the best way to get it as low as possible is stop putting claims for frivolous shit.
Okay.
Right? Drive safe so you actually don't need to get into, you know, right, or use the insurance, but and have higher coverage limits. Because if you have high coverage limits, it's like they're trusting you with more money, or you're paying for them to trust you with more money without them having to pay it out.
I got you.
You know, so that's why if you come to me, first thing I'm going to do is, all right, but let's bump it up the cover just a little bit.
Okay.
Because I know in the long run,
it's going to be beneficial. It's a little more costly now, but in your long run, if something occurs,
you know what I'm saying?
You good.
Let's pay it up front, because in insurance, you're going to have an ugly period. You know what I'm saying? Your ugly period in insurance is supposed to be when you're young, under 25.
Okay.
And when you first start upping up your periods. Right? Okay. Like, right now, I'm 27. I have $250,000 per person for occurrence for $100,000. I got good coverage. I'm not gonna go into the details.
Of gotcha.
All right. I pay about $250 a month for B&W.
Okay. Good. Yeah, that's real good.
Yeah, decent.
All right.
You know, some people pay better.
Well, okay. I know people pay a lot worse.
I know people pay a lot worse.
$5, $6. You're like, ooh. Right. How much your car cost?
But I'm working on getting to my point. Myself, right, I'm only paying $89 a month.
Okay.
When I get my track car. But I got like tickets and shit too. You know? I've been outside. I've been where people.
You need to get another shirt and say insure the bag, and then on the back be like, I'll be outside.
Yeah, man. It's like, you know, I try to teach people from the point where, you know, cause I done paid $700 a month for insurance.
Right.
Trust me, I've been paying for it. I paid for multiple cars, but still.
Right.
You don't want
to.
Yeah. I don't even like if I see your policy $700 a month for one car, I'm gonna try to find a different option for you.
Right.
I just know that's just too high. Right. Unless you got like a brand new S550 or something like that. And even then, you're supposed to be paying around two something.
Okay.
Or something. That's too high. We gotta work on your insurance score grade.
Right. So the highest grade is what, a 10?
Oh no, the highest grade is 50.
50?
Go 1 to 50.
So a person who's a 1, do you think he's just been paying everything out of his pocket?
Maybe. Like,
how do you not have
the person that's a 1, right? Anytime they have a little ding or whatever in their car, they're just like, oh, you know what, I pay for it.
Right.
Or they got an 850 credit score.
Okay.
Or, you know, they've been with their insurance company for 10 or 20 years and had very minimal claims.
Right. Maybe one claim out of 20 years.
Right, but the goal is to have very minimal claims that you're at fault for. Now, gotcha. If you're not at fault.
Claim away.
Yeah, claim away.
Right.
You know, somebody hit you.
Right.
Hey, it's your fault.
Right.
But you keep on hitting somebody.
Right. They're going to get you off the insurance, first of all.
Control the insurance.
And take your license. They should.
Because what people are not aware is that your insurance company can and will drop you.
Yeah. Right.
Matter of fact, if I see you got so much claims, I'm going to drop it.
Right.
like before my insurance company says anything.
I'm right.
Like, oh, no, this person on some bullshit.
Right.
Because as an agent, and this is probably something that a lot of agents don't like to tell y'all, but y'all killing our loss ratio.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
if my book isn't profitable,
right,
I don't get a bonus at the end of the year.
Right.
And I like bonuses.
Right.
I'm trying to make over 100,000.
Right. Every year. Right. Right. Nah, you should. That's why you're here.
Fucking up my pockets. So, yeah. You know, so they might just turn your world and be like, you know what? This person, no.
Now, dude, does the insurance score, does that work for all areas, home, car, or just car?
Yeah, home.
Oh, car. Oh, okay. Okay. Now, can you have it, like, combined? Like, if you, let's just say you have great, I guess, home score, where you don't have any claims on your roof or anything like that. You do all that out your own and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then you have a, I don't know if this is possible, but you have a mid-car score, but you have a decent credit score. Like, do they combine all that? Do they look at all that?
No, so like, let's say if your ISG is, like, you know, in the 30s or whatever, right? But you look at, so when you bundle your home and auto with a company, or bundle your home auto umbrella or home auto whatever, to that company, your insurance score grade is lower because
everything's with them.
Everything's with them.
Gotcha.
So now instead of not rating you at 30, they might rate you like 22.
And gotcha.
Like a super big jump, but it's going to be enough to where you will see
a little difference in your monthly premium. Premium,
right. And then the longer you hold everything with that company, you might go from a 20 to a 15 to a 10 to a 1.
Never know that. Oh, man. That man be putting us on game, man.
All right. Whatever you do, all right, bundle your insurance.
Like, right, okay.
That's always going to make sense to bundle.
So in that way, so no one has ever explained the purpose of bundling. You know, of course, I get, I have insurance. Most of us probably have insurance, some form of insurance. But normally when the home insurance say, hey, you know, do you want to add your car? You know, I normally say no because I'm like, what? You know, I have my insurance over here with Horace Mann. I have home insurance with Rico. I got a life insurance with James over here. You know, I mean, for what?
Well, for one, that's too many people you got to call.
Okay.
Right. And then for me, for my clients, like, it's for me, it's a risk protection sort of thing. Right. So. Okay. If your insurance is over there, I can't see what you got with them.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
Got you.
But I know with me, if something were to happen, I know I wrote coverage for you.
Got you.
I don't write just anything.
Got you. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Like, it's about you being protected. And then on top of that, too, it's probably going to make, you know, financial sense because it's going to be cheaper when you put everything in one place. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Well, you know, people just don't take the time to, you know, to learn that type of stuff. Yeah. All right. So tell us about a lesson that you may have learned during your journey and how people could benefit from it. All right. Yeah. So tell us about a lesson that you may have learned on your journey and how others would benefit from it, or what could others benefit from your journey?
So, you know, I think that every agent or financial risk advisor, they start off on that journey being an order taker, right?
Okay.
You know, you come to me and you tell me, yo, I need homeowners insurance. Well, okay. Let me just try my hardest to go ahead and write this man some homeowners insurance, right?
Right.
But then, you know, you kind of sit back and you pivot and you come from a place of, all right, how can I best be of service to whoever I have in front of me? And you move from being that order taker to being an advisor, right? So it's not like, all right, well, you have homeowners insurance, but, you know, like, what's your total insurance picture looking like? Like, are you protected here and there? All right, cool. And really, that just helped me be more real with people. Like, you know how you said that nobody really told them why it would benefit them to have everything in one place.
All right.
Well, I'm going to tell you why it benefits you to have everything in one place. And I'm going to try to deliver it in a manner to where it makes sense for you. Okay. And to me, that's just been the biggest thing. Like, I used to just try to, you know, make a sale and, you know, just try to appease people by saying whatever so they can get the policy. And
right.
And to a point, I knew I was giving them good coverage, but I was doing them a disservice by not really getting them to understand the full scope. So that was my thing. Got past the barrier of just, I'm going to do what people tell me to do to where I'm going to do what I think is best for them and explain to them why it's best. And
right. So yeah. just being able to not only communicate, but to be able to give some communication about the benefit of the product.
Exactly. Right. Because, and trying to make it more than just a product, like, I don't want you to
get this thing and just because it's what you need, but we're just being in the mindset of, okay, my assets are secure. Mm-hmm. You know, when I get more assets, I'm going to at least have the conversation, say, all right, am I protected?
Right.
You know, so that way customers are safe with their financial well-being.
Now, I would say, and I don't speak to, you know, I don't have like a laundry list of risk management professionals that I speak to, mm-hmm. but I will say this, that you have been one of the most informative mm-hmm. of the bunch that I have spoken with in the past. What type of additional trainings do you personally go out and do to make sure that you, not only are you able to communicate about the product, but you have the knowledge base that people need to know to feel comfortable with you?
Man, this is about being in it. Like, I believe in being the best at whatever it is you do, right? Whether you're a realtor, mortgage lender, you know, an educator, whatever. So I'm just knee-deep in it. I got certain designations. I'm a certified professional financial advisor, you know, couple of different designations so that way I can best assist my clients.
All right. Well, I would say this. I appreciate you, Hervé. I'm sure the people out here would definitely appreciate what you have brought to the table. If you guys are interested in looking at having Hervé look at some policies, talk to him more in depth about not only insurance, but just about maybe some networking opportunities or whatnot, Hervé is going to give you his socials right now.
All right. So you want to reach out to me, hit me at door.insurance. So that's DOR.insurance on Instagram. And follow me on Facebook at Hervé Door American Family Insurance. LinkedIn at Louis Door, which is actually my middle name. Still probably fun. So call him Louis.
I love where you do that. Louis. Like Louis V.
LV Louis.
And tell them, once again, we got to do well with that.
Hashtag insure the bag, you hear me?
There it is. Hey, you guys like, subscribe, share. If you're listening to this on Spotify, make sure that you pass it around to your friends or whatnot so that they can get this great information. And once again, I want to thank you, Hervé, for coming out
My guy.
And putting us on.
For sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Back. Yes, sir.